Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Friday in Cape May, 2 days away. Are you joining us? You better be joining us. You better join us. I want to see you there, okay? Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Make sure you come out and see us, and it's going to be a lot of fun, all right? This Friday, don't forget, 50% off your room if you want to stay over. And 50% off Saturday night if you want to stay over then, too. You can definitely do it, no doubt about it. So, yeah. More than 160 Republicans were potentially investigated in the FBI's Arctic Frost probe, according to a House panel. The GOP-led House Judiciary Committee disclosed Tuesday that more than 160 Republicans, including many closely connected to President Donald Trump, were targeted for possible investigation during the Biden Justice Department's Arctic Frost investigation. The committee tweeted that recently reviewed documents show the Arctic Frost investigation appears more wide-ranging than initially believed in Biden DOJ's effort to take down President Trump and his supporters. The nearly 200 pages of documents provide new insights into the sweeping investigation aimed at Trump World, which was launched by the FBI under then-director Chris Wray, later picked up by former DOJ special counsel Jack Smith, under then-Attorney General Merrick Garland. And by the way, the president put out a Truth Social post saying Jack Smith belongs in prison. He's not wrong. I mean, this guy is a deep state slimeball. The committee led by Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio said that 45 individuals, including former President Trump White House advisor Steve Bannon, Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former Trump DOJ official Jeffrey Clark, former Trump attorney John Eastman, and former Representative Mark Meadows were potentially under investigation. This is amazing, Ann. This is really amazing. I am amazed that we are just understanding the level of weaponization. I mean, we thought it's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we knew it was bad, but it's like every day something new comes out, which is glorious. And part of the reason why they wanted him dead, Trump, that is, because if he got back in, he would expose all this stuff, and we knew that. So, obviously, we knew that. The committee led by Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio said that 45 individuals, the GOP-led committee argued that another 111 individuals, including Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro, Trump senior advisor Dan Scavino, former Trump DOJ official Jeff Rosen, and current DOJ weaponization czar Ed Martin, were also potentially under investigation. The new records revealed the internal threat tags used by the FBI, including fraud, corrupt, P corrupt underscore camp. The newly released documents also include the FBI's predication for making various people targets of the investigation. The new records include a declassified October 2020 tactical intelligence report from the FBI's Washington field office, which claimed that Trump campaign funds layered through clearinghouse firm likely misused by campaign digital director. Huh? What? The newly released FBI emails from May of 2022 show a redacted official from Washington field office saying, "Thank you again and again and again for your help in interviews in Arctic Frost." The message was sent to many different FBI field offices. One unidentified FBI official sent an email remarking that everything related to the Arctic Frost investigation is restricted inside the FBI systems. Another FBI Washington field office email that month said the Arctic Frost team is requesting approximately $16,600 from the Public Corruption Unit for travel in June to conduct more than 40 interviews, serve subpoenas, and execute several cellular device search warrants. The attached document listed out dozens of GOP-linked officials from Arizona, Virginia, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and New Mexico. A record from September 2022 was titled, see if I can see this here, I'm sorry, Subpoena Council Matrix, and listed dozens of GOP-linked activists, public officials, purported electors, and government employees allegedly tied to events surrounding the 2020 election. The Jordan-led committee also publicly released on Tuesday letters from December of 2022 from the leaders of the January 6th Select Congressional Committee, headed up by Representative Benny Thompson of Georgia, former Rep. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, telling Smith that they want to make evidence we have gathered available to the Department of Justice. Of course, Cheney went on to back Kamala Harris. Recently declassified revelations related to the Arctic Frost Chronicle, the 2022 lawfare assault against then former President Trump and MAGA World, as criminal inquiries, which would soon lead to criminal charges, spun into high gear as Trump leaned toward running for president again. I don't always like to read stories, but this one is important and there's a lot of details in it. And it's just the kind of thing I just riff on. So bear with me here. There's a lot to this, and good for Justin News for breaking it all down for us here. New evidence shows that Chris Wray, FBI, former FBI director, Merrick Garland, former attorney general, and then deputy attorney general Lisa Monaco signed off on the launch of the Arctic Frost inquiry into Trump related to the Capitol riot. Unearthed emails also show that the Biden White House counsel's office coordinated with an anti-Trump FBI agent to hand over phones which had belonged to Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence. Arctic Frost also targeted dozens of GOP officials and organizations, according to documents released earlier this year. The recent revelation that the FBI snooped on the phone records of Republican members of Congress during its January 6th investigation is bringing greater scrutiny to Wray and Smith. These revelations are also putting the spotlight on former FBI agent Timothy Thebalt, whom Republicans argue showed extreme anti-Trump bias, demonstrated a willingness to target Trump early in his first term, attempted to slow walk or block the FBI's investigation into Hunter Biden, and in early 2022, helped spark the Arctic Frost investigation later carried on by Smith, which led to criminal charges against Trump related to the Capitol riot. It's remarkable, isn't it? The extent to which they tried to find a way to put Trump in prison. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that. All based around the high holy day of the left. Because Trump told people to march down to the Capitol and then people rioted. Trump should go to prison for that. I mean, you got to realize something now. There's so much related to what the deep state did and what these deep state scumbags did. And we're just at the tip of the iceberg of this stuff. I mean, we really are. We are at the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's going to come out. And this is why they wanted Trump to lose. It's why they wanted Trump to go to prison. They never wanted this stuff to come out. And they were scared to death that it would all come out. You know what I mean? They were all scared to death. Trump would get back in there and expose everything that these deep state slime balls did. And it was just yesterday when they said there's going to be more indictments coming for these people. And good, I want all of them to be tried. I do. I want all of them to be tried because they were all complicit in the weaponization of our government and an attempt to stop a private citizen from becoming president. And then when he became president, to undermine that presidency and then to stop him from becoming president again. And I really hope this weaponization of government comes to an end, but the only way it comes to an end is if we are actually in a situation where we can finally get to a place where we can hold accountable the people that did this. Because if we don't, you know what I mean? If we don't, then we just let this go, then other people will do it again. Let's face it, the left loves using government as its political department. I mean, they love using federal law enforcement for that purpose. If we don't hold people accountable, they will do it again and again and again. Clapper, Comey, Brennan, they're just the tip of the iceberg of this, and all the people that worked with them, whose names we don't know because they're not household names in terms of all this stuff. But as it comes out, I think you're going to see, absolutely, 100%, you're going to see names that associated with this, and people are going to wind up having to flip. They're going to have to, because they're going to have to avoid prison by cooperating. And there is no doubt in my mind that there are people who are complicit in this, who help the big names that we know, who are going to sing. Then they're going to have to. And yeah, the truth is going to come out. The truth is going to, it has to come out. On the files, the James Comer, on the pardon stuff, James Comer determined that every Biden pardon should be declared null and void. Chairman Comer of the House Oversight Committee, with this coming out, he spoke to Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News. I was on Fox News yesterday. Sorry. Anyway, I can't help myself. It really is. At this point, it's like a tick. It's like having Fox Tourette's. All right, take a listen.
The staffers confirmed that they would go weeks, months, and even years without communicating with Joe Biden. This is a massive cover-up, and what we determined was every pardon should be declared null and void.
Well, back to that point, I want to get into specific pardons in a moment, but that's all well and good to say they're null and void, but I'm a lawyer, so I'm going to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is there really any legal means of challenging these pardons? I mean, I don't see any federal court that wants to get involved in what seems to be unknowable with the president's plenary pardon power. I think they're going to call it a political question and say we're not getting involved.
I don't disagree with Laura. And I'm not just saying that because I've been on Laura Ingraham's show many times. I don't disagree with her. It's what I told you yesterday. The reason why I agree with her is because it's very difficult to ascertain whether or not the president has the power to delegate this matter. And all it takes is people to say, I had the president's ability. I mean, he delegates powers all the time, but they're still coming from the presidential power. I don't see courts overturning this. I think it's good. Don't get me wrong. I think it's good the Oversight Committee is exposing all this. I think it's great that they're bringing this out. I think it's wonderful that we all know that Biden, his brain was gone, and that this was all completely done by AutoPen. Great. Get it out there. Expose it. 100%. But do I think a court is going to come around and say these pardons are null and void, these people need to go back to prison? I do not. I do not. And the problem is, unless you have somebody who clearly comes out and says, I did this without the president's authorization, which would then implicate them in a massive crime. But even so, doing that doesn't necessarily mean that Biden did anything wrong. In fact, in some ways, you might argue that that person is just simply covering up for Biden and taking the bullet for him, so to speak. In which case, then it doesn't solve the problem. You would literally need somebody to come forward and say, Biden's brain was jello. We all did whatever the hell we wanted. He had no idea what was going on. And we were just doing all these things. And yeah, now we're implicating ourselves in major federal crimes. But that's how it is. And these people are not going to do that. They're not going to throw themselves under the bus that way and risk federal prison. They're just not. Even if you were to tell them that they would, we'll give you immunity, they're still not. I just don't see them doing that. And it still doesn't then implicate Biden in anything, because you basically would be protecting him by saying, well, all this stuff happened without his knowledge. You know, we took advantage of the fact that the guy had dementia brain, and we did this all ourselves. Which is what I think happened, by the way. I think 100% that happened. I think they just figured he doesn't care. He doesn't know what's going on. Let's just do whatever we want. But do you honestly expect Washington swamp creatures to own that? And for what potential reason? And even if Congress gives them immunity, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have lots and lots of legal bills around it. It doesn't mean that they're not going to have the spy. So just ask yourself that question. Do you see that happening? And that said, I'm glad the House Oversight Committee has done this investigation. I think it's incredibly important. I think it's important for everyone to know this. And the question going forward is, the Constitution gives the president the power to pardon. Obviously, there was no auto pen when they made it. It doesn't require it even be written down. A president could pardon somebody by just saying you're pardoned. It doesn't require a formal document. It doesn't require fancy stationery. It doesn't require a presidential. I mean, it's just, it doesn't. So does Congress want to limit that in terms of saying it has to be? And could Congress, does Congress have the power to do so? I don't think so, because it's a presidential power. So even if Congress were to try to pass a law saying pardons have to be signed in ink and you have to witness the president, I don't think that would hold constitutional muster, because it's the president's power under Article 2 of the Constitution. So getting the truth out there is good. But that's about the best we may do here, unfortunately, on this. As far as some of the policies that were done by Joe Biden, oh, I absolutely think they were done by radicals within the administration who just did whatever they wanted and did not care. I think the natural gas export ban. You remember the time that Speaker Mike Johnson said, I asked Joe Biden about that. He had no idea what I was talking about. And we just assumed Biden was having one of his Biden days. Well, maybe not. Maybe he literally had no idea what he was talking about, because somebody, these people just did it on their own. But are they going to come out and admit that, that they used the presidential powers and just did whatever they wanted without the president's okay? I don't know, man. I don't know if these people would come out and cop to that, but as far as Arctic Frost goes, I say lock him up. Lock him up. We played Chuck Grassley earlier as he gave his update on Arctic Frost. It's unbelievable to me the targeting of many people we know, a lot of good friends of ours, who were targeted by the previous administration. And Jack Smith, deranged Jack Smith. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you. Dr. Mike is the man. He's going to give you the smile you deserve. Coming up, President Trump on running for a third term. What did he say on Air Force One? Well, he said he's not going to. Spoiler alert. But I have some thoughts on that, so don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So President Trump's not running for a third term. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Of course, I'm not shocked. I've been telling you he's not running for a third term. But nevertheless, he loves to troll. He loves to antagonize. And there's no one better than him at it. No one. There's no one better. Simply no one better. But he does it. And he just knows how to needle them. And they fall right for it every time. And they can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. This is what he said on Air Force One.
And I would say that if you read it, it's pretty clear. I'm not allowed to run. It's too bad. I mean, it's too bad. Sir. But we have a lot of great people.
The staffs will stop to be.
Now, a lot of great people, meaning JD, Marco Rubio, other people like that. The other issue, too, is that in political reality, there are a lot of Republicans that want to run for president, and they're not getting any younger. Trump is going to be in his 80s, and as popular as he is with the Republican base, and I have no doubts that allegiance with there's never going to be another politician like Donald Trump in terms of the loyalty that people have. But the way that, and you know this, I mean, the way that people want power and they want their turn at this, that if the Constitution is clear and if it's the kind of thing where they may publicly say they support changing it, they may publicly, but they will do everything possible to make sure that that doesn't happen so that they get the opportunity to run. It's just human nature. You know what I mean? It's human nature in that sense. These guys are not going to wait around. They don't want to wait around another 4 years. And they also would be worried that it be a situation where the American people would reject it because the American people don't believe that this should be happening for a third term, and on it goes. So I never thought it was serious. I think the president, with his respect for the Constitution, and I already told you how the 12th Amendment forbids him from becoming president by being vice president. But hey, it's fun to think about, and it's fun to watch the left lose their freaking mind. And I'm sure now they're going to say, well, he said he's not running for a third term because he's going to just stay because he's a dictator and dictators don't run for anything. Now, I'm sure that that's coming if it hasn't come already. You know what I mean? No doubt about that. Now, the whole issue with Bill Gates, and he's caused a civil war within the Republic, within the lunatic left, the lunatic, like the nutbags, you know what I mean? The nutbags who are out there, and they are so angry at Bill Gates for coming out and saying we need to chill out on the climate stuff. Chill out. Chill out on this. No pun intended. It's because Bill Gates wants to make a lot of money in AI and energy and everything else. So he's just flipping on this. Well, now that Bill Gates has said, the earth is not going to end. We're all not going to die from climate change and the rising temperatures and blah, 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 blah. Now he's getting the backlash. Michael Mann attacking Bill Gates for making a marginally less doomsday prognostication about climate change. Take a listen. I'm sorry, that one's not working. But we have this one, Harry Enten, CNN. The bottom line, the climate change message has not worked.
I think a lot of people will agree with Bill Gates that maybe this wouldn't be the end of humanity. And I think, you know, we've been talking about climate change now for decades upon decades upon decades. And the worry in terms of climate change, simply put, hasn't shifted. It has not reached the majority of Americans. What are we talking about? Greatly worried about climate change. You go all the way back to 1989, it was 35%. 2000, 40%. 2020, 46%. And in 2025, look at that, it's 40%. The same number as we had 25 years ago back in 2000, and then only just 5 points higher than we had back in 1989. Really, we've just seen consistency on this issue. The bottom line is that the climate change message that folks who, of course, believe that climate change is real and is quite worrisome, simply put, has not really worked with the American people.
So greatly worried. You say greatly worried. I mean, so people say they're greatly worried, 40%, but how worried, really? Is it the biggest thing they're worried about?
Yeah, it is not anywhere close to being the biggest thing that people are worried about. What are we talking about here? Well, why don't we just talk about top issue facing the U.S., climate change. Well, I got some numbers for you on the screen right here. You don't have to be a mathematical genius to know that these numbers are not particularly high. Top issue facing the United States, climate change. It was 3% in 2021, 2% in average of polls in 2023, and this year the average of polls, two. It is very, very low on the list of priorities. I was trying to count it out in the Gallup poll, and basically it was so low down, you know, I was counting all the different issues. I almost lost track. I was like,
this guy's very, very, very fired up. I don't know what this guy takes. I want to know. I'll have what he's having. But no, but this is also comes on the heels of that report that was written by that center-left group that said the Democrat Party, if they want to win and become a majority party again, needs to stop it with this crap. Stop it with the climate change crap. I mean, that just came out. So I'm not surprised that it's not a priority for people. And you also notice how in this election, like in New Jersey, for example, Democrats are barely talking about it. They're barely having the conversation about it. They don't want to bring it up. By the way, early votes are surging in New Jersey. It's great. And I have some data from Gloucester County, New Jersey, which I wanted to share with you. And the data is really good. The data is really good. The data shows right now that, let's see if I can find this here. Hang on. In Legislative District 4 in Gloucester County, Republicans are beating Democrats by 5 points in early in-person voting. In the 4th Legislative District, Republicans have 65.3% of VBM's return, vote by mail. Dems are beating us by 0.6% in vote by mail numbers. That's a really big deal. County overall, Democrats are up by 50 votes in terms of early in-person voting. The unaffiliateds are coming in hard, about 18%. And I told you, I think the unaffiliated voters are going to break for Jack Cittarelli. I really do. I think they're going to break for Jack. I feel really good about that. And I think that that's why Jack is feeling good about his chances and he's feeling very confident. He's losing his voice on the campaign trail. There's no doubt in my mind that he's got the momentum in this race. No doubt about it. He's got the momentum, and you see it everywhere you go. You feel it where you go. Mikey Sherrill is not giving up, though, and this is a battle, and I want you to understand that. I want you to understand it's a battle. She put out a video today of her calling somebody, asking them for their vote. Now, this is as scripted as it gets. I'm just going to play this for you. It's annoying, but I'm going to play it, and the reason why I'm going to play it is because I want you to know that their effort is very, very strong. The Democrat effort is very strong. So don't think for a second here that they are giving up, because they are not. Here's Mikey Sherrill as she, do we have that one? Let's see if we have that one. Oh, you know, actually, you know what? Skip that one because she's annoying. But how about her praising Phil Murphy? Yeah, she doesn't want you to hear this. She's actually suing a radio station claiming it's AI because they're playing an ad that was made out of this. And it's not AI. This is Mikey Sherrill praising now His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable. Here we go.
Well, good morning, Bloomfield. It's great to see you today. And it's great to be out here to raise once again an issue that's near and dear to my heart. Before I get started, I want to thank everybody who made this possible. Thank you, Governor. I want to extend my thanks to everybody who's here today. And I'm madly scribbling, so I hope I don't miss anybody because I saw y'all coming in. Mayor Venezia, Congressman Payne, Zach, Michelle, Assemblyman Greenwald, we have Assemblyman Caputo, we have our freeholders, Gill and Siebel, and Mayor. And so we're here today because here in New Jersey, we have a governor who's a leader. You heard how hard it was, how impossible it was to get gun safety legislation passed under Governor Christie. It has been a complete 180. People across the country, members of Congress from across the country, have come up to me to say, how have you done it? And they said, well, elect a Democratic governor.
Phil Murphy has been a leader. His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, a guy everybody hates. with a is so unpopular right now. He's been a leader. Yes, Phil Murphy's been a leader in taking away people's rights and people's liberties, and that's part of the reason why she's going to lose. I really believe that Jack is going to pull this out.
Am I predicting it?
No, I'm not predicting it. I'm just simply saying that I think he's got a really great shot. I can't make the prediction. I'm not going to make a prediction. I can't. It's too close to call, and I don't want anybody to get complacent. But I absolutely 100% believe he can win this race. 100%, I believe that he can win this race. That there are naysayers out there. There are always going to be naysayers. Don't listen to them, all right? Don't listen to them. You listen to me. Just vote. Just worry about your. Just do your part and vote. And come to Cape May Friday, and we'll have a great time together, okay? Excellent. All right, more to come in our fourth and final hour. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's excited for Cape May? I'm excited for Cape May. You better be there. You're dead to me. Or just come to the next one. No, seriously, it's going to be a great time. Friday, October 31st, Halloween in Cape May, New Jersey. It's going to be a great, 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 great time. Zora Mamdani doubling down on this whole, my aunt wasn't really my aunt because she was something else and wasn't. But she experienced all this Islamophobia, and originally he was crying and talking about his aunt, if you remember in the original video, and then he walked it back, and then he said it wasn't his aunt, and then, so he's kind of doubling down on this now in a very strange, bizarre way.
Not so fast, Lone Star.
Helmet. So, at last we meet for the first time for the last time.
Before you die, there is something you should know about us, Lone Star.
What?
I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
What's that make us?
Absolutely nothing, which is what you are about to become.
It's good context for this.
I was at the press conference yesterday. They said, can you tell us who your aunt is, who you were referring to? I said, yes, this is my aunt. This is my Zerafui. This is my father's cousin. And this was her story.
So how can you convince New Yorkers if that is the type of person that you are? In other words, that you don't tell the truth?
Well, it's not a lie. My father's cousin is my aunt. That's how I referred to her growing up my whole life, Zerafui. And I think to have the takeaway from the New York Post and so many others after I gave a speech outside of a mosque for 10 minutes about the Islamophobia we've seen in this race and in our politics to be the question of whether or not Zerafui was my aunt.
Absolutely nothing, which is what you're about to become. He's so bad at this. He really is. He's bad at this. But Is he going to win? I don't know. I mean, probably, I hate to say it, but maybe there'll be a change. You know, maybe something will change that will change the trajectory of this race. I hope so. I really do. I hope so, because I can't imagine what this guy is going to be like. John Fetterman going after Democrats over their lunacy on the shutdown right now and their excuses over this. He is a dinosaur in the Democrat Party. He is going to be primaried. You cannot say these things in today's Democrat Party. Understand this.
What leverage do the Democrats have at this point? I mean, Whip Clark said the only leverage left is the shutdown and working families in order to get the GOP to fix Obamacare. Where do we stand, do you think, right now?
That's just not, I would ever you say. I'm not going to describe the lives of millions of Americans as like a euphemism as leverage. I mean, this isn't a political game. I'm not checking about how it's polling or who's going to blink or whatever. You know, 2 million Pennsylvanians are going to lose their SNAP benefits. And I think we should have them both at the same time. Open this up. SNAP comes back. And then I believe we can have an honest conversation with our colleagues on the other side and develop those and extending those tax credits. You know, I think plenty of them are going to want this too. Have that conversation. Open up this government, because that's not leverage. This is a fail.
Does it make the Democrats look bad, you think, right now, the optics of it? Who's getting most of the blame?
I think that's kind of where I'm at with that. It's just like, open it up. I mean, this thing has run its course. Let's just open this up. Again, it's a failure. You know, who's winning, who's losing? Well, 100% America loses with this.
Can't say that, John. Can't say that. You are not allowed to say those things. You have to be all in today's Democrat Party. Gavin Newsom, who grew up with the horrors of Wonder Bread, barely getting by, or as Jimmy Fallon said yesterday when I was with him, he's doing the poor black child routine from The Jerk with Steve Martin, now says America's going through a revolution. Can you say that?
It's a revolution that's going on in this country. And I think you have to start using those words. He's attacking every single institution of independent thinking.
Oh, you're talking about Trump.
And he's succeeding because we're still playing by the old set of rules. And so my party needs to focus first and foremost on recognizing that. And then we'll reconcile, be more culturally normal, more reform oriented, talk about service and patriotism. And we'll continue to build on the legacy, I would argue, of our former president, who I think was one of the most successful presidents in the last century, and that is Joe Biden. And I will defend that till my grave in terms of the Chips and Science Act, the infrastructure bill, the work he did on the IRA, the fact that he had a worker-centered industrial policy, and the fact that those are the right policies for this country.
They're all getting undone, right? I mean, everything.
A lot of them, but not, well, many aspects are being celebrated by the Trump administration as his.
That's Gavin Newsom with Jonathan Carl. It's a revolution because he's a king. America's mother-in-law lecturing everybody on the fact that Trump is a king. Yes, a king. Who said he's not going to run for a third term? Why would he have to? He's a king. Here's her nagging lecturing.
We need for the president to release the data they already have. Why is Donald Trump not releasing the jobs data? Donald Trump's own former head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics has said that by September 30th, the data were all collected, the data were ready to go, and Donald Trump and his administration are keeping it under wraps. And that just means that the Fed, which needs fundamentally two kinds of data, they need the inflation data and they need the jobs data to make a decision about interest rates. So now they're trying to land this airplane, but the plane only has one wing.
And it seems like there's going to be a rate cut today. You've long called for rate cuts. What do you make if that happens today?
So look, I think that it is right for the Fed to cut rates. But getting that done accurately, knowing how much they should cut, depends on data. The whole point of an independent Fed is that they look through the numbers, you know, they're boring nerds, and then they make
cut rates
their
today
best
by a quarter
decision
basis points.
For the economy.
America's mother-in-law.
And the fact that Donald Trump has been trying to politicize by threatening to fire first the chairman of the Fed and then another governor of the Fed, and now concealing data from the Fed, is one more sign that Donald Trump wants to politicize everything in America because he thinks he's the king in charge. And understand, ultimately, that is bad for our economy. And I don't say it's bad for Democrats. I say it is bad for everyone. Democrats, Republicans.
Why don't you just open the government up and then you can have all the jobs data released, all the numbers released, all the economic. Just open the government. It's really not that hard. It's not that complicated. Just do that and then you don't have to worry about it. Oh, he's a king. Well, then open the government and don't let the king just keep running the show and have the legislative branch back in session. What am I missing about this here? Honestly, what am I missing? If the legislature is so concerned that he's a king and he's running things, then reopen the government, because right now you're not in power. You don't have any power right now. Democrats are the ones in charge. They are the ones right now who are absolutely 100% keeping the government shut down. That's what John Fetterman was saying. That's what John Fetterman is saying. And he's blasting the Democrats for using the shutdown as leverage. But Ruben Gallego, who has said now that the norms are being shattered, the norms, and was asked a question by CNN. You know, you've said that the government should reopen the norms of our government, but why not just reopen the government? That's a great point. Why is it suddenly right to do it this way? You know what he said? Donald Trump, that's why. Admitting that the Democrats are 100% doing this just despite Trump, because of Trump. There's no other reason for it, and nothing's going to change. You understand that. I mean, nothing's going to change. The reason why they're doing all these things is because they want to just be the resistance to Trump. That's it. That's all it is. And we're also using, you know, we're ratcheting up the language again. On MSNBC.
My feeling is at this point that there is a sense that the government shutdown is the response. People are blaming Republicans because they should.
No,
Republicans
no, they're
are
not.
In charge. They're in charge of the White House, they're in charge of Congress,
actually. They're
in charge
they're
of
not.
The Senate. And at the end of the day, they've reached a conclusion that the people who have the keys to the car are the ones responsible. So I think that is largely going to play out over the course, even though some of these elections have tightened up. My sense is that the Democrats are going to prevail.
Yeah, reminder, the House isn't even at work while TSA workers are going to work and receiving food from food banks. But in California, are we finally going to find out whether redistricting is a winning issue?
Yes, we will. It's definitely a referendum on redistricting. And, you know, it's ironic, Stephanie, because, you know, for so long, a lot of complaints.
Well, he goes on to say, you know, we got to bring a knife to a gunfight. So we're still using the heated rhetoric. But I know I played this before, but I think it's worth playing again. CNN data reporter Harry Enten, these polls, the Republicans are not being blamed for the shutdown. But that's the bottom line. They're not being blamed for the shutdown. They are 100%. The Democrats are the ones who are getting the blame, and they deserve to get the blame. Let's understand this. They deserve to get the blame for this because this is their shutdown. And everyone knows that.
Standing. Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that a government shutdown might actually hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Let's take
wow.
a look here. The shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. Among the when we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand has actually improved a little bit?
Now, we say their position is getting better. With whom?
Yeah, okay, with whom? So I think it's two groups that it's so important to keep an eye on. All right, changing the Republican Congress's net approval rating versus pre-shutdown. It's rallying the base for sure. Look at this, the net approval rating up 12 points versus pre-shutdown. But it's not just with the base. It's also with the middle of the electorate. Look at this, among independents. It's up 8 points as well. So we've got a situation here where Republicans with the shutdown are actually rallying their base, but it's also something that's not hurting them with the folks in the middle. If anything, it's helping them with folks in the middle. And this
helping them with folks in the middle. You hear that? If anything, it's helping them with folks in the middle. This is it's the lamest shutdown. It's so boring. The whole thing is boring. The whole thing is dumb. I feel bad for people not getting their paychecks, like the air traffic controllers, even though J.D. Vance said they're going to get paid. But I just, for me, you know what it is? It's just the stupidity of the Democrats. By the way, I should mention to you, Republican voters are driving the increase in mail ballot requests in Pennsylvania. This is great. We chatted about this earlier with the chairman of the Republican Party, but with 1 day left for Pennsylvania to request a ballot to vote by mail, state data shows voters of both parties are turning to that method in record numbers, and Republicans have seen a particularly strong rise. So now the deadline has passed, but according to data from the Pennsylvania Department of State, as of Monday, more than 1.1 million voters had requested a mail ballot. That's up 17% from the 2021 municipal election, the most comparable recent election, and up 9% from 2023, when you had higher profile races. The increases could be a sign voters are more interested in the judicial retention races on this year's ballots than they have in other races in recent municipal elections. So the last data requested ballot was yesterday, but Chris Borick, a professor of political science at Muhlenberg College, said the numbers struck me. Having that type of activity at this point does suggest that voters are a bit more engaged this time around. Republican voters appear to be driving the trend, while Democrats still make up the majority of mail ballot requests. 66% Republicans now make up a greater share than they did 4 years ago. The number of mail ballots requested by Republican voters has risen to roughly 277,000 from 205,000 in 2021, a 35% increase. The Democrats' total by comparison is up just by 9%. As of Monday, voters of both parties have returned roughly 52.5% of their ballots. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And what it means is that the enthusiasm Republicans are getting the joke, and they're understanding that they have to 100%, absolutely 100%, play by the rules the Democrats have created. Whether they like it or not, they have to. 825,000 voters in New Jersey have voted so far. 515,000 have voted by mail. About 312,000 have voted in person. The Democratic advantage among voted ballots has grown to plus 218,000. In New Jersey, the Democrats are still leading, but on a percentage basis, the return rate is 60% for Democrats and 58% for Republicans. So they're very, very close. Unaffiliated, the rate of return, 38.6%, about 85,000 unaffiliated voters have returned their ballots. Democrat in-person voting is they're only up by 4,915. That's huge. About 125,000 Republicans have voted in person, and about 127,000 Democrats have voted in person. And 61,000 unaffiliated. If those unaffiliated are breaking Jack's way, and if you got Democrats, and you know you got this Democrat mayor of or a member of whatever in New Jersey who we played the clip earlier, he's come out winning Fox News today to endorse Jack Cittarelli. It's not looking good for Democrats right now. It's not looking good. If you look at this advanced voting, if you just look at this right now, the in-person early voting, if Democrats are only up by 5,000 ballots and by mail they're only up by 215,000, that is not a great firewall for them. That is not the firewall that Democrats need going into Election Day, when you know most of the votes in person are going to be Republican voters. Republican voters are going to vote in person. Most of us want to. So the fact that this is their firewall going into Election Day is not good for them in New Jersey. That's why I'm so bullish on Jack's chances. All right, more to come. Well, actually, no, we're done. That's it. We're going to turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Thank you for listening to the show. Keep the conversation going on X, @RichZioli, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. at Rich Zeoli Show. Grand Hotel on Friday. Make your reservation. Get 50% off your room rate. I hope to see you in person. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll be excited as we ratchet up, talk to Jack, and get things going for a big, big win on Tuesday in New Jersey and Pennsylvania with the judges we want. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.